Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting today on Tuesday, July 5th, 2022. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and we will place the meeting audio on our website, which is wmata.com. Just a few helpful tips for people joining via phone calls. You can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. If you go under reactions, you can click on the hand raise hand icon to lower or raise your virtual hands. This helps us knowing if anybody's intending to speak, and we can have one speaker at a time. So in advance, thank you. We also have ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. And if the speaker can state their name before making their comments, it helps them doing their job. And anybody who is joining the meeting on phone calls, it also helps them knowing who the speaker is at that time. So I would request you to please state your name when you start making your comments. For the public comment section, if any of the public members of the public attending this meeting would like to make their comments, you can either send me a chat message and I will put you on the list, or when we begin that section, you can raise your hands and I will call out your names in the order that the hands go up. Just as a reminder, we will have 3 minutes to begin with. Approximately 30 seconds before 3 minutes end, I will try to alert you. At the end of 3 minutes, you will hear a sound alerting you that the time has ended. We are practicing this to make sure that any of the members of the public who would like to make comments, or even AAC members, everybody gets an opportunity to do that. If we have more time remaining and anybody has additional comments, we will be happy to come back for your additional comments. Chair Posner, at this point, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda, and afterwards I can take the roll call. That might give another minute or so for anybody still joining.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the meeting agenda for today is as follows. After I finish reading the meeting agenda, I will go ahead and take the roll call of the AAC members. Afterwards, Chair Posner will go through the motion of approving today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report, and the three documents would get approval or amendment as the committee votes. At 5:40, we have the topic of prior meeting complaints review, followed by Metro Fares Transit Accessibility Center, and Mr. Colbert and Mr. Blake will give us information on that. We do have new members joining the meeting for the first time today, so we will go through the introduction of the entire committee. We do have public comment section at 6:45. 7 p.m. is the bus and rail subcommittee report. At 7:15, we will have Metro Access Subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. That concludes the agenda for today's meeting. At this point, I would go ahead and take the roll call. So please confirm your presence. Azar Atura. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Deborah Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Timothy Howard.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazzell.
Present.
Thank you. Sandra Newsel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray.
Present.
Thank you. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore.
Here and present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan. Kelly Simoneau. Philip Weintraub.
Here.
Thank you. That concludes the roster for today's meeting. At this point, Chair Posner, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. Delighted we have a quorum and we're moving forward. And first, without objection, we will move forward with the agenda. Are there any objections to the agenda?
No. I say we move it forward as is.
Seeing no objections, the agenda is accepted as is. Now, the prior meeting minutes, I hope everyone has had an opportunity to read them, particularly the people that weren't here at the last meeting, so that they know what we did at the last meeting. And without objections or additions or subtractions, I will assume the minutes are accepted as is. Are there any objections? Please raise your hands. Seeing no objections, the minutes are accepted and they're ready to go into record. So let's move on to our prior meeting complaints review. Anu, I defer to you on this.
All right, thank you, Chair Posner. I'm trying to see, I thought I had seen Mr. Blake, so if you would, or...
He's here.
Yes.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Okay, you want me to do it? Oh, the complaints review. Yes, that is.
Yes.
Yes, I thought you were reviewing the prior meeting minutes. So let's start with from our standpoint to harder. Let me look. I'm looking at two different screens. I'll look this way. There was one complaint we received about a reservation in the out of Virginia. It was from Ms. Goldstein, and she was reporting on behalf of a colleague of hers, which is right. We want to hear from you directly as well as from things you're hearing from other people. And the information that was provided to them was about the limited hours and they should know and things like that. Following our research and discussion with Marcy shortly after that meeting, we discovered that trip was not booked on Metro Access. That trip was booked on a service out of Virginia. So we understand the concerns, but that wasn't a Metro Access trip. That's number one. Number two, our member isn't here tonight, but he reported that he was at an event on a Saturday in Washington, D.C., and his trip was late and he had challenges reaching the call center. I told him we'll investigate, but I said at that time, everything he said, I have nothing to dispute. There's no reason for me to even dispute. We were having challenges. that particular Saturday. And again, we discussed at length just 2 weeks ago the ongoing challenges the OCC has faced, and that's why we're trying some new creative ways to help a customer in that situation. But Mr. Mangrum did report a trip being late and that he had to wait a little longer than he should have, and for that we do apologize. And we saw some ways, but there was really just a challenging day. It was still a day where, and that's how these metrics can sometimes be misleading. You can have a day like that particular Saturday. Our on-time performance was like 92.6, which generally speaking, we're all very happy with. But even on a day where you're meeting our collective goal, you still can have customers who are inconvenienced by late trips. And that was that particular case. And that was unfortunate. And y'all have always heard me say, my goal is to be 100% on time, not to make excuses when we're not, but to learn from these situations and try to help avoid them, or at least make it statistically impossible for the same customer to have the same issues. When you're dealing with 15,000 people and your on-time performance is a certain level, then it should be statistically challenging for any one particular customer to continue to face similar challenges. And I haven't heard much more from Mr. Mangrum either before that incident or after. So hopefully that's part of that statistical spreading out. The third complaint we heard from was Ms. Kelly Semino, who also was reporting on behalf of a colleague. This was a very unfortunate situation. I responded to Kelly in writing about this as well. When she didn't attend, it was so concerning. We were going to talk about it at the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting, but when she wasn't there, we said we'll just hold it for the regular time that it would come up, which was this meeting, since it was reported last month. But it was a late night trip. Her colleague is a customer who uses a wheelchair, a mobility device, out in Virginia, kind of far out area. But none of that what were contributors to the problems. What happened was a late night trip, and his trip was extremely late. The call center, to their credit, did try, but we'll get to their solutions and what I would have done had they happened to call me, even though I think I might have been in the movies that time or what have you, but had they called me, I'll give some of my solution. But the whole problem began with a driver who refused the trip. The driver was just, for lack of a better word, done for the day in his mind, and just decided to refuse the trip. Now, we have refused trips, and companies are penalized for it, and this company was penalized in this case as well. But even if you're going to refuse a trip, there's a process. You need to let somebody know. You need to let the call center know, and you need to let your base know that you're not going to perform this trip. Now, I'm sure he didn't let anybody know, because he would have been admonished and probably persuaded to go ahead and perform his trip. Again, this was late at night. Apparently, he wanted to get off a little early and go on about his business. But by not letting anybody know, that created more wait time for the customer, even though the driver decided in his mind not to do the trip even before the pickup window opened. Didn't find out the driver didn't want to do the trip until he arrived back at the base. Problem, call center should be monitoring the vehicles, and somebody should have said, if this driver has a pickup in the middle of Virginia, why is he on a highway, on the beltway, heading back to, well, the opposite direction, even if you didn't know where they were going? Why is he on the beltway going in the opposite direction? That should have been a red flag. The company itself should have been a red flag that, hey, I have a driver who's supposed to be working until 1:30 in the morning. Why is he appearing to be driving back towards us when we know he has a pickup in Virginia? So those were two drop balls, red flags. When the OCC, when the call center finally found out about the trip and the driver and determined and understood that the driver wasn't going to be performing the trip, to their credit, they were trying many ways to try to find a solution for this customer. Again, had they called me, the one thing they didn't do, and I'm going to use Paul, since he's our Metro Access Subcommittee Chair, it's easy to talk as a person and try to use an example. One thing I didn't see the OCC try is to move customers around given the resources that were available. They said, well, we had some sedans out there. They were a little closer, but the vans were a little further away. No, excuse me, the vans were close. They had sedans. But what happens is Paul Semaphore's trip is on time. It looks like it's running on time. There are no challenges. But Paul, bless him, he can ride in a sedan or a van. You know, good thing. So if Paul can ride in a van or a sedan and we're running short of resources because this driver decides to take one of our resources back to the base, what I would have done is say, yes, Paul's trip is on time. It looks like it's on time. It looks like it's going to be on time. We don't want to touch that. Well, no, we have to be a little more aggressive and creative in those type of situations. I would have had somebody call the Paul Semaphore, who is ambulatory and is on a van, even though his trip looked like it's going to be on time, and offer another alternative, particularly a free trip on Uber or a taxi that we would find available so that we can then dedicate that van resource to the customer whose clock is now ticking. The OCC did not do that. That may or may not, because you could call Paul and Paul will say that night, as much as I ride Uber on through Metro Access, no, tonight I actually want to ride in a van. And that would be your right to have said that. But the bottom line is that the driver was wrong, and for that, the driver was disciplined. We'll go into the discipline because I'm very disturbed by the act to begin with, but the driver was disciplined according to the levels of discipline allowed under their contract. The company was penalized because the driver refused to perform the trip. And we have been following up with that company and all companies about their responsibility on a daily basis to monitor their services and what to do when a driver or operator refuses a trip, or in the less nefarious acts, a driver just has to leave work early. We all have challenges, and some days I may have to leave work early, but in my job, if I leave work early, it doesn't necessarily mean that a customer is gonna have inconvenience. When a driver has to leave work early, we understand, but we can't inconvenience the customers at the same time. So I'm glad Kelly brought it to my attention. I wasn't aware of it. It was disappointing to hear and read, but I can assure you we have taken steps as a management team to follow up with the companies and to the extent that we can with drivers to send a strong message that we don't appreciate that type of behavior. We understand circumstances come up, family or otherwise, but there's a proper process and protocol which they need to follow so that everyone can be made whole. Their need to leave work early, but also the customer's need and right to be transported when we said we would pick them
up. Mr. Thank you very much. I'd like to mention something historical and something that we might consider doing, and that's talking to the contractors. Our contractors do, in fact, have their terminal garages, check-ins in different places, in Virginia, in Maryland. And in previous times, we often found the newer drivers, younger drivers, were the ones that were getting the last call of the evening in Virginia when their check-in was in Maryland, and vice versa. And that was brought up to the different companies so that they are aware that their late night drivers, they should know which ones should take the Maryland calls, the DC calls, or the Virginia calls. And that way there won't be the temptation for a driver to do what this driver did. I'm not saying it was good or anybody was at fault, but with better scheduling as to, because some of the drivers live in Baltimore and some of the drivers live in the district, and some of the garages, which is their final drop-off point, it's in all three places. So it would be nice if the contractors might work with dispatchers and schedulers and let them know when people's shifts are ending, where would be the most convenient place for them to get the call. And so there might have been a driver in Virginia that wasn't ending their call that would have been happy to take a call in Virginia that might have been sent to Maryland or the district. So that's all I'm saying is if we can encourage them to have a little more coordination on assignment availability and scheduling. Just a suggestion.
I second that only because in the past, not have recently, you know, I've heard from drivers, it's like, I don't want to take this trip. And I'm like, oh God, that means a customer is going to be severely inconvenienced because this driver is serious, unfortunately.
Mr. So, just so you know, we actually agree with you. I won't belabor this point. One of the things we have been doing is implementing something we call jurisdictional scheduling. It really only impacts the early mornings and the initial pullout of a vehicle. But what we've been trying to do to avoid some of what you're talking about, Phil and Paul, is that we have bases all across the region. We have three in Prince George's, one in Montgomery, and a base, and we can say a base and a half in Virginia. Vehicles that are based in Prince George's County, we prefer that they are used to pick up trips that begin or that begin either in Prince George's or Washington, D.C. Vehicles that are based in Montgomery County, we prefer that they pick up trips that originate in Montgomery County. And vehicles that are and bases that are stationed in Virginia, we prefer their first trip at least begin in Virginia. Now, throughout the day, things happen, there are incidents, people are leaving, different things happen. So we can't hold that for the entire day yet because we're still one system made up of four companies providing the service and they all have to be a part of the delivery of the service at a certain percentage of, at a certain level of percentage each. So the point you're making, Dr. Phil, is one that we certainly believe in. And as time goes on, I think you're going to be hearing more and more about that, that approach and that strategy moving forward. So we believe it has worked. And I'm glad that Paul, even before I said it, has heard less of that because that was part of the intention. We would go out, Ms. Williams Hall and I would go out to a company, let's say in Prince George's, and they tell me, the drivers are saying, why am I always driving all the way to Virginia to go pick up a customer just to bring them all the way back here? And then when I get to Virginia, I see a Metro Access van sitting on the side of the road right around the corner from where I just picked this person up. So believe me, we've heard it from the drivers. We've heard it from the companies in terms of how that impacts. We've talked with the OCC about it. We've made some changes. And again, I'm glad Paul mentioned that it's at least it's diminished. It's not totally gone away, but
it's a lot less than what I've seen in the past. I will have to say that over the years.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And that's just proof positive that at least some of our efforts are paying dividends, even from the customer experience. But I won't sit here and declare victory and plant a flag. We still have a long way to go with regard to that particular issue, but we're making some progress.
Thank you so much. I see hands up from Thomas Mangrum, Doris Ray, Phil Weintraub, and Tuan Farmer. Are these hands all in respect to this event? If they are, leave them up. If they aren't, put them down, and we'll start out with Thomas, and then we'll go to Doris, and then to Phil, And Tawan.
Yes, this is Thomas. Thank you. I wanted to ask a question though. With the new building that we must be going to, I was wondering, is y'all making a list of people who want to at least have the trip scheduled to take us to the new building, at least the first time? So we won't have no problems getting there if you set it up automatically for us.
I think what we can do is let Chris Colbert address that, which is going to be the next item on our agenda, if that's okay. Okay, we'll get that addressed. So Doris?
Because I need the address, the reason why I was asking for it, because for one thing, people on my committee keep asking me about it, and I don't know exactly what the address is and how to even tell people how to get there.
That's super. Christopher will tell you all that when he addresses it next session. Okay, Doris?
I was just wondering, with this particular incident, if it was a late night incident in Virginia, what type a provider was it? Was it a regular, lack of a better way of putting it, mainline metro access provider that was supposed to be doing this ride, or was it?
Yes.
A taxi. It was.
It was a metro access van and a metro access driver who refused the trip and went back to his base instead of providing the trip, yes.
But it was a late night trip.
Yeah, but I really don't want us to get caught up in the late night. He failed. There is a procedure, and whether it was early in the morning, middle of the day, or late at night, if the driver is not going to do the trip, there's a procedure that he should have followed so that the customer wouldn't have been inconvenienced. So late night or any other time of the day, I hear your point.
Right.
You'll believe.
Okay.
I'm not dismissing.
So it was a regular metro access trip, which is what I wanted to.
Yes, this was
because if it was one of the other providers that are used, particularly for example, Old Dominion, there's a serious problem there that needs investigated and its impact on metro access service and rides, because just using taxi service, for example.
That wasn't the case.
Any day of the week, you could wait 2 hours before you even knew what was happening. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Phil, you're on the clock.
What I was also thinking is that I think that what they should do is be sure the drivers are going to follow the rules before they allow to be behind the wheels of the vehicles, because also you need to think about that you could be like somebody with a autism or some kind of intellectual disability that can cause them to lose patience if they wait inconvenience or have to wait longer than they should, and I just hate to have somebody do that at your fault. Because people need their pay for service, you should get the service.
So that's a very good point, and that's part of the training that we have talked about for some time. And particularly Deb Fisher, who is here tonight, has spoken about that. And because there are certain people that are, we're all upset if we're going to be late for where we're going, but some people are even more upset than others. And so thank you for bringing it up, and we will continue to try to address it. So I think, Mr. Blake, if we can move on to the next one, and if you'd like Chris Colbert to go first and give Thomas the address for the drop-off, or you two can work out who wants to go first, and tell us how the fairs went for people coming home at 9:30 after the fireworks. They even made an announcement last night, which was neat, during the fireworks, that you're now only going to pay $2 to get home. Unless you're on Metro Access. So, Mr. Colbert.
Yes, I will. Let's go ahead and begin with Mr. Colbert, and then I'll follow up to your point. But yeah, let's, Mr. Colbert, why don't you share all the good news about our new Transit Accessibility Center and the address and things we're going to do to get customers to and from.
Yes, and maybe even put the address in the chat so that Thomas can write it down.
It's in our updated customer guide, too.
All right. Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm going to go ahead and put the address in the chat as requested. So bear with me for one moment. I'm doing that. It is posted also on our website under the Transit Accessibility Center's webpage, under the reduced fare webpage, and also under information regarding senior smart trip cards. Because as of last Friday, July 1st, we are now selling senior smart trip cards from our Transit Accessibility Center. This is something that Metro's Office of Eligibility Certification and Outreach is pretty excited about. Our new location, which we did talk about a couple months ago, is located at LaPont Plaza. We are near the elevator exit at LaPont Plaza and also closest to the 7th and D Street entrance of that Metro station. So that you all are aware. What this means for our customers, I guess actually I put it in the chat, I should say it out loud also, that new address is 655 Virginia Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C. 20024. I'll say that one more time. 655 Virginia Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., the code 20024, located closest to the Pump Plaza Metro Station. As far as the rules regarding Senior Smart Trip, nothing has really changed. The only thing that has changed is moving the location of main sales for Senior Smart Trip cards from Metro Center sales office to the Transit Accessibility. So your state issued ID card, verifying your age, and all those things. You should also be able to add value to those cards, just like a regular smart trip card, which includes online. And I believe with senior smart trip cards, you are also able to add those to your mobile device if it's an Android or iPhone. So this is something that we're pretty excited about to take over. Bringing something in-house that is related to reduced fares at Metro. We're already managing the reduced fare program, and it allows us an opportunity to better engage with customers, include that in our outreach efforts, which is something that we've been doing already. This makes it easier for us administratively. It also means that any customer looking for a discounted fare really now can just point themselves to the Transit Accessibility in order to get those services. Anybody have any questions so far about this exciting new change?
Chris, that's wonderful. One thing that we had talked about at a previous meeting, since starting in July, all of the board meetings are going to be held at that location. And so people that need travel training to get to that location, will there be an ability to do that? We were very successful at the last board meeting, and both Patrick and Denise got there on time and did a great job. But other people might be giving reports to the board or want to attend meetings. And if they feel insecure and need travel training, I assume they can contact somebody to do that. Maybe.
Yes, and we are not quite at full capacity with being able to offer travel training at this time, but we are getting out there to do travel training now. So if there is anyone who needs travel training support or services, they can feel free to reach out to my office and start scheduling.
That's super. And again, for the Metro Access people, they can be dropped right at the building and we can arrange for somebody to meet them at the drop-off point and get them to the appropriate place. And for people that need to come by bus or by train, then we can deal with that as staff becomes available.
Right. And I will say, since you bring up the board meetings, I think it is prudent for us to point out that that there are two addresses and two location differences. So the Transit Accessibility Center, we were fortunate enough to actually have a dedicated address that is just for us and our customers, which is something we did not have at the old headquarters building. But if you're going to a board meeting, or another public meeting in that building, that is not the address or entrance that you will be going to. You'll want to go to the main entrance, which is at 307th Street Southwest.
So we don't confuse everyone. I would say it this way. If you're using a transportation service, because that entrance, if I'm not mistaken, the entrance that of the initial address, and this is what Mr. Mangrum and others need to share, the 655 address, that is the entrance you want to use if you're being transported by Metro Access, a taxi or Uber or someone, because that is an entrance where you have additional support, and that's where the team will be for those meetings. If you're traveling by way of fixed route service, however, then yes, the front entrance is the better address because it's literally, well, not quite across the street, but almost right across the street from the Lafont Plaza entrance. But if you're using transportation, i.e. Metro Access, Uber, taxi, what have you, you want to use the 655 address because there is an accessible entrance there in terms, and there's available parking. You're not going to find any parking in front of the building. So those who are traveling through a fixed route, you want to use the 300 address that Mr. Colbert mentioned. But for us, when you're sharing with your constituents and your colleagues, I would highly encourage we stick with the 655 Virginia address that Mr. Colbert has put in the chat, because that's where there's ample parking for drop-off, not parking to stay, but parking for drop-off of a transportation provider.
Thank you, that's terrific. And for the new members, just for information, all of the board meetings and subcommittee meetings will be broadcast on YouTube and through the website. So if you just want information, you can get that just via YouTube or the website. But if you actually want to speak at a board meeting, or your constituents wish to speak to an issue at a board meeting, then you physically will have to go down to the meeting. to that building. And it will be available either via Metro Access or by bus or rail, and rail being the closest location, L'Enfant Plaza stop. And we'll talk about that a little bit more during orientation. So, Chris, thank you so much.
Chair Posner, this is Anu. We have two members who have raised their hands, Timothy Howard and then Doris Ray.
Yes, we'll go with Timothy, who hasn't spoken yet.
Hi, my name is Timothy M. Howard, and I am a disability card holder. I have one question for you, and I don't know if now is the time to ask it, but it has to do with my Metro Access card and transferring funds from one card to another card when one is inactive and the other one is active. And I've had trouble, and I've been bounced back and forth between my accessibility card and Smart Trip card services, the call centers, and I have no resolution to it whatsoever. And two, I want to point out that I got stuck on the elevator at West Farragut, and there is an employee by the name of Kelly Washington, and he was incredibly kind, patient, and helpful, which is kind of a rarity across the boards. I can't tell you how much he helped me. I was stuck on the elevator for roughly 20 minutes. It's a tiny elevator. And he was gracious and kind the entire time. So I just wanted to put that out there. So I don't know if now is the time to ask the question about the card. Please let me know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yes, why don't we do that during public input, and we'll put you down to speak during public comments periods. I'd also suggest that you do go online and give that station manager an applaud so it goes on his record.
But before we go, Dr. Posner, we do have a team member who is from, unless Mr. Coburn wants to deal with it, but we have Ms. Foster on from our Treasury Department who may be able to shed some light on the transfer of funds. I don't know if she wants to speak, or Mr. Colbert. Do either of you want to?
I can, Mr. Howard, I think I can look up your information and have someone on my team contact you tomorrow so yeah. That we can figure out what's going on with me.
Yeah, I think the question is it from an Easy Pay account to a Metro Access, to a Smart Trip card? I think that may be the problem.
It's a previous disability card that was sponsored by Booz Allen Hamilton, and now I have a new card. That was the issue.
Yeah, that's a little different. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. So then one other thing I would like to just say, Dr. Posner, before you close this out, and you're going to be hearing more and more from staff about this. Yes, you can come down to the Transit Accessibility Center for a senior Smart Trip card. I keep forgetting which camera I'm looking at. Yes, you can come down to the Transit Accessibility for a senior Smart Trip card. But one of the things you're going to see us doing and emphasizing on the web, on the customer guide, and just general, for lack of a better word, marketing or informing customers, there are locations throughout the region where you could also pick up a senior Smart Trip card that may be more convenient for some customers than coming all the way to L'Enfant Plaza in Southwest Washington, D.C. So you're going to hear us emphasizing that customers should look to these other locations to determine if they're more convenient for your senior Smart Trip card purchase than coming to L'Enfant. I just want you to be aware that you're going to see a push from us. Not that we don't want people to come see us, but if it's more convenient, there's not a reason necessary to come all the way down to Southwest to see us.
I think the problem you're going to hear, particularly from federal government, because my wife is going through that. Patrick is going through that because they are getting supplementation through their employer. So the employee programs, when they switched over to the new cards, The question was, what happens? So all the money that was in the previous card, which is no longer effective. And I think when you mentioned the magic words of Bruce Hamilton, that clicked on. So I think that is the issue. And the treasurer might be able to answer that a little bit better. But I think it's the problem we're going to hear from a lot of people. Both community, because a lot of the people on this panel do work for the federal government. So we may hear this from other folks.
Thank you for that. Yes. You're still there?
Yep, we're all here waiting.
Okay, so I think the next item, I think we're finished on our end.
Okay,
I see that there's still another question. I see Doris has her hand up. Sorry.
Doris? Doris, if you'd like to make your comment.
I just wanted to bring up a point of privilege, Mr. Chair. While Chris was speaking, there seems to be big distortion. So I'm having problems hearing at all what was said during that. So there's a distortion, not that it's not loud enough, it's distortion, and Mr. Posner, the same thing is coming from your end. It's plenty loud, but it's distortion. I don't know why it is. So I just wanted to bring that up, but as far as the information that was provided, you don't necessarily have to repeat it. I'm just curious whether there's going to be some information for customers. In my particular case, I'm asking for people arriving on rail and bus about how to get into the building down there at LaFont, because that's not necessarily on the website and we, like that could be sent out in email if there's a request from the office about how to get down, you know, to the 962-1100 number, or that might even be available at the kiosk, so you get some instruction when you get there. I think it would be valuable, even as a PR outreach. Let people know by a variety of how to get into the new building from Platform Plaza.
I think we can do something on online as well as some other messaging. We'll start with online. And again, it will be kind of what we talked about, where Mr. Cobra pointed out the transit accessibility entrance, but also that there is also another main entrance to the building. And we will discuss the two differences as well as highlight which exit of the LaFont Plaza station one should take if they want the easiest path of travel to and from the fixed route service and the—
Mr. Blake, just in the information he was providing, you provided addresses and all of that I couldn't get. So and I might not remember anyway, and perhaps that would be the case other.
Gotcha. Well, the address is in the chat box, but hold off. I mean, you can get it out the chat, but we're going to send out an email. We'll send out one of our special AAC emails, if you will. I haven't done one in a while, but we'll do something up nice that can then also go on the website, and you can, and it will be easy to be shared with your colleagues and constituents.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much. I will go a little bit out of sequence at this point before I get back to Mr. Howard, but I would like to make a motion that this committee requests that WMATA put the information on the trip planner on the website of how to get to board meetings. So if someone types in board meetings, the trip planner will give them not only the address, but also directions, which they have done for other locations. They tell you which exit and which direction to walk to get in. So I would make that motion if we can have a second.
Second.
Good. Discussion? Without objection, the motion passes. I don't see any objections. So we have that motion, and anew, we will put that in the letter to the board. Mr. Howard, you've been patient.
Hello, sir. Thank you very much. Philip, I have to tell you, there's a little bit of echo in your mic, just so you know. With regards to the entrances, having visuals or a visual walkthrough or walk to is incredibly easy and also incredibly web friendly. And that would be a wonderful addition to the whole thing. You know, we can take virtual tours all over the place now, and it's very easy. The cameras are very simple to use. And, you know, just a recent cell phone photograph is absolutely more than adequate. That's been my experience anyway. I just wanted to put that out there because the visuals make all the difference to people with disabilities. Okay.
That's terrific.
So much more.
Yes, we're looking to our wayfinding projects. And we have requested we get wayfinding at L'Enfant Plaza. So we will talk about that. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay, can we get back to Metro Fares with Mr. Blake?
Yes, so you mentioned hearing a big announcement about $2 after 9:30. So that is the weekday flat fare that we've been discussing, which then makes the Metro Access late night fare $4, twice the fastest fixed route equivalent fare. So that means now that the Metro Access fares are flat $4 all day on the weekends and after 9:30 on the weekdays. And you will see that reflected in all fares. And we did, I heard your question earlier, we did do a check over the weekend to see that the fares are being reflected as such. And we were pleased with the results. So anyone who books a trip on the weekends or with a pickup of 9:30 p.m. or later, and your fare is not $4 or less, and I say less because there are some, they're dwindling now, but there are some local fixed route services whose fixed route fare would result in less than $4 Metro Access fare. But anyone who books a Metro Access trip 9:30 or later, Monday through Friday, or anytime on the weekends, and your fare is not $4 or less, you should give me a call and we will check to see if there's an issue or what the issue is, because there would be an issue in that case. So we're moving in the right direction, I believe. I like to say we're moving in the right direction. And I don't want to go too much further than that, but Mr. Chairman, you and the committee and also stakeholders in general who are part of this meeting on a regular basis and not so regular basis, you all know what you want, and I think you know how to go about getting things that you want. So I would just leave it at that in terms of where we are moving forward with the fares. But where we are now is a flat fare for a good deal of the schedule, but not total schedule.
All right, Mr. Blake.
But remember, the number one thing we wanted was consistency, because what will happen is those people that are traveling to the jurisdictions that have lower bus fares or no bus fares will get a ride that is only a dollar or a dollar and a half. And then suddenly they'll get a $4 trip and they'll complain about that and they won't understand it because it's too complicated. And so that's just the discussion. I'm not making a motion. I'm going to let Mr. Semelford talk also.
Oh, but, Mr. Blake. So I'll be the first on the list here. I have a fare tonight. It's $4.25. So I'll put that on you to find out why it's not $4.
Okay. But,
there you go.
Okay, it's $4.25 and your pickup is after 9:30?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, Ms. Anderson is on the phone, so she probably can change that before this meeting is even over, right, Ms. Anderson? Well, we need to figure out why that's the case, but if you can look that up, Ms. Anderson, and help us resolve Mr. Summerford's challenge there. But yes, that should be changed before this meeting is over, but that's what we need to hear, because all fares after 9:30 tonight should be a flat $4.
Okay, that's the only thing I have to say on that. I gave you an example.
Okay, appreciate it.
All right, this is, I know Ms. Rush has her hand up. Ms. Rush, go ahead, please.
This is Denise Rush. My question is, what is the fare during holidays? Hello?
During the holidays, it's twice the fastest fixed route fare. And that means if on the holiday, Metro runs, let's say, a non-peak schedule, then those Metro rail fares would generally be lower, but not necessarily flat. So if you get on a holiday, let's say, well, we just have one, July the 4th, and you ride at 12 in the midday, and it's an off, well, 12 is off peak. Let's say you ride 8 a.m. 8 a.m. would normally be our peak time, but on a holiday, it may be a non-peak fare. So it would be cheaper than a normal day, a normal weekday, but it would not necessarily be a flat fare at that time.
Okay, well, what Paul said, I'm not understanding how his fare could be $4.25 at all. Wouldn't it just automatically, because I thought at 9:30, automatically all fares would be $4. How does it not be $4?
Well, that's why I asked the question. I want people to let me know when they experience that so I can go in and then understand why the computer has not been programmed perfectly right. That's why I'm not totally satisfied just yet that it's been reflective. And that's why I've asked the question. On the weekends, we've been testing, and because we've had this now for several months on the weekends, and it works. This just started last Friday on the weekdays. And so we're asking customers, we're doing our own review, but we're also asking customers to provide us feedback as well, so we can find out exactly why would Paul's trip show up as $4.25 and not $4.
Okay, and then I also have the question. I had a complaint at the last meeting, but maybe it wasn't the AAC, it was the Metro Access, okay? Because you were talking about complaints, but I guess you'll right. talk about it. Metro Access?
That is correct. That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
sir. Okay, thank you. I think we're ready and we can deal with the Queen's complaint at the Metro Access meeting, or Ms. Anderson, or MTM may have some information for us at the next Metro Access meeting. And to get us back on schedule, let's go to introduction of the AAC members. And what I'm going to suggest anew is that we start with the new members that are here this evening. So why don't you call them off?
Sounds good.
What I ask them to do is very briefly tell us their name, how they'd like us to pronounce it, where they live, where they travel most frequently, and how they travel. Bus, rail, metro access, and if so, which lines? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Posner. This is Anu. I would go and call out the new members in the order that I see them. So Timothy Howard, you're first on my screen, so please go ahead and share the information.
Hi, my name is Timothy M. Howard. I am just about to turn 60 in 10 days. I am dyslexic. I have two areas of neurological impairment. Most of my impairments are in what they call invisible disabilities. And I have had a career in design for over 30 years. And I use Rex. I use Metro all the time, at least three or more times a week. I have a fair amount of experience studying other metros in other countries.
Wonderful. Thank you, Timothy. I would call upon next would be Phil Weintraub. Phil, if you would come off of mute and share the information.
I'm Phil Weintraub. I live here in Rockville. I have a pervasive developmental disability, which is like sort of like on the very high end of the autism spectrum. And I use the Metro Rail at least four times a week going down the Metro Center on the Red Line.
All right, thank you, Phil. I would call upon next would be Sandy Newsel. Sandy, if you would come off of mute and share some information with us.
Yes, and also do not feel obliged to tell us what your disabilities are. And for anew, I would hope that we would take that out of the minutes. If they are shared, I don't think it needs to be broadcasted.
We will. Thank you.
Okay, I'm Sandy Newsel. I live in Reston, Virginia. Mostly I ride Metro, Silver, Blue, Orange lines going to Bethesda and Alexandria. A couple of times a week under normal circumstances, but over the summer I may not be riding quite so much. And in Fairfax, I do take Fairfax Connector buses. I need to work up to being comfortable riding Metro buses as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Next, I would call upon Tawan Farmer. Mr. Farmer, go ahead and come off of mute and share some information.
Thank you, Anu. My name is Tawan Farmer. I'm a resident of the district. I am blind, and primary service as a government employee has been through Metro Access as we've transitioned back to being in the office for me 2 days a week on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and social outings have mainly been under that platform. The agency I work for is right there on top of the McPherson Square Metro. So that puts it convenient to the Blue, Orange, and Silver lines and one stop off of Metro Center. So I look forward to getting back more on the train from time to time. It's pretty convenient to all that right in front of the White House. So look forward to actively being a part of the committee and reporting in on what's going well and maybe what's not going so well and could be improved upon. One of the departments I work for is in my own agency, strategy and integration. So we deal with that a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson Phil.
All right, Chair Posner, our fifth member was unable to join this morning. Her name is Azar Otoro, and when she joins the next meeting, we can have her introduce to the committee at that time, if you would like.
No, that's super. And we will, you know, come September, introduce everybody again. And you'll get to meet your fellow committee members. I'd like to take the time to remind everyone, you are people of one, but representatives of many. And so we count on you to report to us everything that you learn from your own experience, from your constituents, and those of you that ride the metro and actually sit in a priority seat. Feel free to chat with somebody else in a priority seat to see if they have a problem. The other thing we tend to do on this committee is not complain, but offer solutions. And so it's great to tell what a problem is that you have faced or one of your friends or constituents have faced, and then help us work out a solution. And then the second most important thing you will learn, nothing gets done without emotion. If we chat and we're fun to chat with, we're fun to discuss things, but after we have discussed an issue and we have invited staff to talk to us about that issue, it is critical that emotion, either inviting staff to come discuss the issue or emotion suggesting that that issue be repaired or addressed by one of our suggestions. So learn to listen, learn to speak up, learn to make motions. And you'll have as much fun as some of us old timers have had on this committee when we see that what we suggested gets fixed. And sometimes it takes a week, and sometimes it takes 3 or 4 years. But patience is a virtue, but understand that you will be doing good things by participating. So that's my speech. And I think we're ready to move on to public comments. And I know if we finish with the public comments, when we do, we'll throw that open to the board members, committee members. So Anu, please.
Sure. And Chair Posner, this is Anu. I do want to also mention that the sixth position was a renewal of Rico Dancy's position. So I just wanted to add that as well. Returning to the schedule, we did not receive any public comments via emails or phone calls. And if any of the members of the public or AAC members have any public comments, you can raise your hands at this point. And we just got two raised hands by Doris Ray and Mr. Blake. And Timothy Howard, Vanessa Coles.
And explain that everybody has 3 minutes. And in your world, very wonderful sound when it's time to stop. So, the new call roll. Who is first?
Okay. Doris, go ahead, please. And I will start 3 minutes when you start speaking.
Sure. Again, this is Doris Ray. I just wanted to mention to the as well as to Metro staff that the week of July 25th, there will be a national conference, the National Council on Independent Living, its national conference here. And there, it's the first time it's been in person for 2 years. And consequently, there will be a lot of people in town and using the Metro system to get to the Grand Hyatt at Metro Center and travel from Metro Center down to Capitol Hill to probably using a lot Capitol South, L'Enfant Plaza, and Station. And so it might be good to check that there aren't any scheduled damages of elevators and sure everything is so in terms of accessibility in the Metro and any request for Metro access service. So I just wanted to
let them know that they need to get their eligibility for their visitor to Metro Access before they get here.
So I just wanted to let you know that, and I will check with them whether that's mentioned in program information that's sent to people, but they're
okay, thank you, Doris. I do see a member of the public has also raised hand. So since we're in public comments, Chair Posner,
yes,
go ahead and take him first. Mr. Torres, if you would come off of mute and make your comments, and I will start the 3 minutes when you start speaking.
Yes, hello. Good evening. Ansel Torres, I just want to welcome all the new members to the committee. For those of you who don't know me, I don't always agree with the committee on many, many things. And when I express my complaints or concerns here, it's nothing personal to anyone on the committee. It's a great concern to me. That's why I take the time to come here and speak my piece and hope to get resolution. So we are coming to the end of another term. And my question is, after visiting these meetings, attending these meetings over the years, I don't get a sense from the leadership of this committee in terms of setting directions and outlining achieved goals. I think it's appropriate. I think it would be very appropriate to have that at the very least at the end of the year or the term or the beginning of the term, or maybe you talk about what you have achieved throughout the term. I'm very interested in hearing that. And you set goals at the beginning of the term. I think that would be a very good constructive practice so that we can evaluate what has been achieved, because there's a lot that gets talked about here, but my sense, the committee does not really achieve much of anything because we are frequently ignored by WMATA. I have been complaining about the website quite some time about accessibility. Mr. Blake says, after many years, the Metro Access web booking app is on the web page, the front page, the homepage of WMATA, but it is buried among the weeds where it is very difficult to find. By comparison, the trip planner is just about on every page. And I urge, and I will continue to urge, that the web booking app for people with disabilities be made just as convenient or even more convenient than sighted folks who have to use the website. People who are blind will have challenges there, and I'm sure there are other disabilities or other people with disabilities who may have issues finding a link, an important link like a web booking app for Metro Access rides, it would be a lot more convenient for them to have it on every page the way the trip planner is. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Torres. Any comments from anyone before we move on? All right. I see Vanessa Coles has her hand up. Vanessa, you have not spoken, so go ahead and make your comments.
Yes, I have another request for you, Anu, if you could. You know, every year we have a work plan for each of our committees, the AAC and the two subcommittees, and we also do an annual progress report. And if you might post some of those on the website so that Mr. Torres can see that we do actually accomplish something every once in a while.
Sure.
And let Marcy go. You're on the clock, Marcy.
Chair Posner, that was Vanessa.
Oh, Vanessa.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Hi, this is Vanessa. And I was trying to take myself off mute. The system would not allow. So I am on the telephone. Last three digits is 3058.
Right. I have your name. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So all I wanted to do was say congratulations to those new folks that have joined the committee. Welcome, welcome. And you are representing the public, and that we hear them and bring their concerns to the committee. And again, I say welcome.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Howard, I think you're next, and then Mr. Blake.
Hi, this is Timothy M. Howard. So you had mentioned about suggestions and things of that sort. I don't know if the information that I gave you in my interview was shared at all, but I hope it was. I have a number of suggestions with regards to the signage and issues that normal people would have with or without disabilities with regards to signage and wayfinding. And that was the primary reason that I joined this committee, although I'm absolutely thrilled to be on it. I give a new permission to pass that information around if she hasn't already. But it's got to do with visuals of the signage and wayfinding systems. So I just wanted to put that out there. The only other issue that I have with regards to Metro Access or WMATA, it has to do with something very simple, and that's manners. It's something we seem to have lost or is not important to Metro employees across the boards. And I encounter that all the time. And that's across the boards in DC with a lot of things. So that's an issue for people, and it's a wall that people put up, and it's not necessary. But if I can help in any way, I am more than willing to do that. So thank you.
Oh, we will use your talents quite a bit. We are very active on signage with Doris and with Patrick and with me and the rest of the committee, and also the courtesy and the training of staff is something we talk about constantly and offer to do sensitivity training. And that's something that we've been very effective at getting done. But we're dealing with a very large staff. And we will find that some of the station managers are wonderful. I have seen them take their fan and their chair out of their booth to permit a patient that was suffering from the heat to sit down while I got help for them. I have been on a bus where the driver has turned around and told people to move out of the disability seats. So that does happen. But there are also some drivers and station managers that have not, that have hung up on us and what have you. And so what we do is we do collect the information. We do invite the staff members that do training to come talk with us and offer to do training videos, which we have done in the past. So promise me you will participate because I will recruit you. I promise you that. You will have a lot to do. And Phil, you have been very patient with your hand up. So you're on the clock. Go ahead and get started.
Yeah, I have couple is, first of all, is like communications, like making sure your communications are clear, like, or like, for example, I was like, it took me, when I learned that these new fare guides didn't take my card, I had to like, I found out it wouldn't go through the state. I couldn't get out of the station because I had a card, an old card that new fare gate couldn't take, and I had go the other end and walk around or something, and then I had to buy a whole new fare card and have to go through a headache to get money from the old to the new, and just like that they should have better communications on that about what these new machines gonna take, and then have the website, and also it should be better also to make the website more accessible, is have it in plain language so there's people with disabilities who just can't understand these big words, and they just need like plain language, like where they can read easily. We also need to think about the turnaround times when trains break down. Like they should be able to do faster. Especially because I told you about earlier about the patients with people with intellectual disabilities and have them wait for like whole half hour, 45 minutes, or they move parts of the train to let the guards know that they need to be fixed, and where they could just put a sign on and get going and get the next in service train in.
Phil, thank you very much. And I will let you know that we hear a lot about that from Mr. Torres and from Mr. Sheehan, who is on the committee. And we know what ADA requirements are, but we also try to impose usability as another requirement. So you may meet the letter of the law, but you need to go beyond and make it understandable. So we will count on you to continue to give us information on that part. So I see Taiwan has his hand up, and Philippa has her hand up, and Mr. Blake is still up there. So Taiwan, you're on the clock.
Thank you, sir. First, thank you for having me on the committee. And I'm only bringing up two brief matters. One is very easy, and that is for new and old, including stakeholders, for communication that doesn't necessarily go through the board, or the committee rather. Can we please identify the methods of communication to the AAC or Mr. Blake's office when we do have concerns over the different modes of transportation, or even commendations, I guess, that could come through as well, since there could be both sides to that coin. So just whatever communications is that, if it is email, what the email address is, if it's a phone number, what that is, not just for, you know, through chat, but maybe out to an email in case, as I have seen in Zoom, when someone does chat call-ins and that information may not have been acquired within the scope of the meeting. The second matter is, I think it's important to engage in what I would call generally a proactive approach to transportation. As I mentioned, I use Metro Access in doing so. What bothers myself as well as most people is they understand there's a 30-minute window, but they don't like that window to have closed and then have to be the one to say what's going on, or you get that standard, how can I help you? And it's obvious that your window has closed, so therefore the trip is late. That's the only reason I'm calling. It falls on an example that that did occur to me, and I give it to you briefly, that I had a trip like that. I called in advance of the window. I identified that I was simply making a stop to pick up mail. The driver was going in the same general direction after the drop-off. That could not be modified by the driver or staff at Metro Access upon my call. I said, okay. So I said, let me bring a second solution. Is it possible to convert my trip to an Uber in this particular scenario, as I have used it before? And they said, that can't happen unless the trip is late, which unfortunately it was. So therefore I had an hour wait, and to include time that exceeded 20 minutes beyond the window's closing. And I tried to take that proactively before the window even began. But with that communication, there were ways that they could have approached me in advance and said, hey, you've already communicated with us. We see the trip's running late. Let's not let the window close and convert you over. And it helps get that driver back on schedule. Those are just my basic concerns that I had today. So thank you for listening.
No, thank you. That is terrific. What I'd like to do is let Philippa have her comments, and then I will go to Mr. Blake to address your Metro Access question. And as far as the communication system goes, I will ask Anu to suggest the best way. You will have everybody's email address, and Anu is our first point of contact. Many of us will contact Mr. Blake from time to time. Anyone can contact me, either by phone or by email. So those are available. So Philippa, please.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. First of all, I did want to welcome all the new members. This is a very interesting and sometimes exciting committee to work with. So I think you'll be glad that you joined. I certainly, definitely, absolutely welcome more voices on signage and station ahead signs, because Metro used to be just perfect. And everywhere you went, there was a pillar with telling you what stations on which line were ahead. The lower level of L'Enfant Plaza absolutely terrifies me, especially if I'm going south, because the station ahead sign was now posted on the wall on the other side, the platform's in the middle, the trains come down on either side, the station ahead is on the wall opposite, on the other side of the track, where if the train was in there, you wouldn't be able to read the station ahead sign, even if you could see to read it, which I cannot. And then there are three lines there. So especially if you're going south, it can be kind of terrifying. Which train do I get on? What stops does it have? Et cetera, et cetera. So certainly I definitely welcome everyone. I particularly welcome anyone who wants to help get the signage thing and station ahead signs going in a better direction like it used to be. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And people are smiling, so we know that we're going to be working on this. Mr. Blake, unmute yourself.
There we go. Okay, so great comments. And again, welcome everyone to the committee. I can start with Mr. Farmer. I think he and I have had this conversation before. No, a customer cannot call and request an Uber trip prior to their window, or if the trip isn't at that moment projected to be late. If a trip is projected to be late, often you may get a call before you call us. But if the trip is not projected to be late, regardless of the time you call, then no, we're not moving Uber trip. We're not moving trips to Uber under those circumstances. There must be some conditions. We're in the accommodating business, but we're not running an Uber service, if you will. Now, I don't want anyone to be late, and I want your trip to be on time. And again, we've empowered the call center, and we've encouraged the call center to be proactive with projected late trips. I've even had them tell me the name of the staff members, one of them of whom sits not too far from me. So every so often, I go out there, walk, and find out if they've been contacted about moving a trip or two based on outreach to customers. But I hear your point. When your trip is projected to be late and you offer a suggestion, again, I've been telling my team we're in the accommodation business. We have these resources. Let's use them for the betterment of the service overall for all customers, but in particular the customer who has made the inquiry. But I just needed to be very clear that, yes, if your trip has not been assigned to Uber on a particular day and your trip is not projected to be late at the time they speak with you, then that is not a trip that should be moved to Uber. Just got to be, you know, on the record for that. And then I raised my hand earlier because I wanted to respond to point that Paul brought up about his fare. And so I'm going to take responsibility for that being the way, and that's why we need to test this out. We had to do this when we first went to flat fares on the weekends. But in my conspiracy to have the Metro Access service area be greater than the fixed route service area, if Paul's trip tonight, if we were under the old way of doing business, the trip that Paul has booked tonight would not be allowed to have been booked because it's outside of the service area in terms of the current schedule that we're operating. But because the Metro Access service area is greater than the fixed route service area, the computer we're still working on it, and that's why your fare was quoted as $4.25. But I've told the team, and they're working on it now, your fare tonight will be $4 for sure. But no matter in the service area or outside the service area, any trip on the weekends is $4. Any trip after 9:30 is $4. But that's the kind of example we needed, because we knew this would probably happen in some cases. Again, this just started Friday. We went through it when we went to flat fares on the weekends. So I appreciate you bringing it to our attention, and the team is working on it. But either way, I owe you a quarter, but trust me, your fare is going to be $4 for your trip tonight.
Good change. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. And once again, for the public that's here, you do not have to be a member of this committee to get Mr. Blake to refund your quarter. There is a mechanism of filing your complaint online or calling in, and then it will be addressed. So thank you. Vanessa, I think you are the last hand up. If you have anything to say, you just unmuted yourself. Go ahead, you're on the clock.
Yes, hi, thank you, this is Vanessa. I just wanted to mention to Mr. Blake, so I've had the pleasure of getting Uber on a regular basis, based on my putting in my primary reservations through Metro Access. Just wanted to make a couple of comments. One, I had to learn how to access the link, and so I'm learning. I haven't mastered it, but I've learned how to do that. But one incident that I ran into today, and it's nothing that anyone can do anything about it. It's just a comment, just to let others know that Uber does not discriminate against their drivers. So I had the experience yesterday of having a deaf-mute driver, and had it been not for my granddaughter being with me, I don't know how we would have communicated with each other. So that was just interesting yesterday, my experience. But I am enjoying that because I am able to access Uber whenever I'm ready, and I'm going to find that very helpful when I leave from New Orleans coming back, from the airport coming back home. The Uber is going to be great because once I get my luggage, I can just do Uber and come home. Is that something that Uber's AbilityOne is doing or Metro Access?
Okay, so no, it's a great question, and it also gives me an opportunity to offer another disclaimer about Uber. And I'm really, first, let me just say, I'm really happy that customers like yourself are pleased with the option of third parties. And Mr. Farmer, just for disclaimer, he's been one of my non-AAC members who tested the service and other things for several years. So I appreciate his feedback. And I always know that I'm going to get nothing but unvarnished opinion from him. He's not going to sugarcoat it at all. But he's helped help me along with others. I mean, yourself, Vanessa, you've been testing, Mr. Torres, Patrick Sheehan, Mr. Sheehan, all of you have helped me help Uber make this program more accessible for people with visual disabilities. And I appreciate all of you, because if we couldn't work with you all, then this program just could not work. So thank you all, and we want to keep this as an option, as an alternative for customers. Now, Vanessa, Ms. Coles, now, your trips, you've been having a lot of trips lately, as you pointed out, because a couple of weeks ago, you were among several hundred who responded to a text message I sent getting up one Saturday morning, saying, I don't have nothing else to do Saturday. Let's do some work. Let's just ask the Metro Access customers if any of them would like to sign up more for the Uber opt-in program, and you were one of them who did. So a lot of your trips now are being automatically scheduled to Uber, and that's a good thing, that's fair. I work with everybody, we want everybody to be happy, but one thing I heard you say is you said, automatically, I cannot wait till I get back from my trip, because when I get back, I can just get on Uber and we go from there. We've got to make it very clear, while it's unlikely to be the case that your trip will not be assigned to Uber on a particular day, everyone must remember, through the Abilities Ride program, as you pointed out, Ms. Coles, you are calling Metro Access Call Center. You're booking Metro Access trips. So I don't want anyone to leave the meeting or end the program. I may have to send out another text message. I haven't sent one of these out in a while. To remind folks, there is no guarantee that any of your trips will be moved to Uber. Now, of course, I'm always available. My phone rings a lot. I try to help customers under all circumstances, but I just need to put it on record. There is a random computer sampling of trips. No one's trip is absolutely guaranteed to be an Uber trip, because let's just say that day you come back, that day the computer is only selecting trips that are up to 10 miles. I'm just throwing out a number. Your trip from the airport to your home may be more than 10 miles, so that would be on Metro Access, not on Uber. So, okay. But again, right now, because of a whole lot of things that are going on, most customers who've opted into the Uber program, most but not all of those trips are being offered to Uber. But I just don't want anyone to believe that once I'm in this program, that every trip I ever take on Metro Access is going to be on Uber. That's not the way it works. But I'm glad you're happy with the program thus far. You're right. One of the things Uber is doing, and I believe the other taxi providers that we're partnering with do as well, is that if there's, in fact, a member of the AAC once suggested it, that's how I found out they were doing it, is that if a individual has a disability, a hearing disability or other disability, but still have the barriers removed where they can operate and provide Uber services, then they encourage that. And that's a good thing. So now not every notification is a ding. Sometimes it's the vibration of the phone to get the driver's attention who may have an audio or hearing disability. So you're right, there are different challenges. I want to hear about them, positive or negative, so that we can always be aware of what's happening with our customers. But you just keep providing feedback. It's very useful, very helpful. And again, I'm just happy that customers are enjoying some of the alternatives this team has been trying to provide to you.
Thank you.
One thing I wanted to
And Libby, you're up next.
Chair Posner, this is Zeno.
I think Vanessa was trying to finish up. I'm sorry.
She's had her 3 minutes.
Okay, I just wanted to.
Debbie, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to go back to the earlier question about the mistake and the charge, the 25 cents extra. And I just wonder, Mr. Blake, if you could do a scan periodically now that this is new for all Metro Access passengers who are eligible for the fixed fare, to do a scan and just make sure that the correct fare is being charged, because members of our committee obviously are informed and they can question you, but many people out there are just continuing along as usual. And I just think it would be reasonable, fair, good customer service to make sure that the kinks are all worked out so people can assume that that fixed fare is really there for everybody.
No, we agree. And Ms. Anderson, who's on this call, she did that over the weekend. She started that. And so we do believe in doing that. And Ms. Anderson is going to continue to do that periodically as we, particularly for the late night fare. I think we've got a pretty good handle on the weekend now. But the late night, as it just started, she was the one who pointed out to me that it didn't look like it totally caught. So we've been working on it. And anyone we find, we're going to provide them a refund for sure, a credit rather, into their account if they paid in full.
Thanks. It's just that a lot of folks will not speak up, and I just want to make sure that they're being treated fairly.
Thank you. We'll do that. And I've been a terrible chair, and I've run over into the bus rail subcommittee report. So we'll let them do that. And just for something for Mr. Blake that does need to reply, is that Uber does in fact put a surcharge on for pickups at airports and drop-offs at airports. And I'll let you talk to Vanessa about that. And Tino, you're up.
Yes, thank you very much. And let me thank actually Debbie as we welcomed the new members. It was Debbie who presentation on cognitive disabilities who had as a guest Philip Weintraub, and now he's a member here, and welcome to him and to all the other new members. I might add that this is the early part of Disability Pride Month, and I hope you'll keep that in mind and let other people know that Disability Pride Month is here, and if they have questions about it, they can contact you, and through you, you can bring up matters to our committee. We're running a little late, but I wanted, my obligation is to go over the last meeting's minutes. And basically we heard from Michael Haas, who is the interim chief operating officer until the end of this month. And a number of things were brought up during his discussion with us. One of them is that Phil Posner, and I guess now we have to say Phil Posner as opposed to Philip Weintraub, but anyway, Phil mentioned the mask cars, the mask, M-A-S-K cars. And I wonder if Phil has heard anything back on that. I know some people had questions about whether people with low vision or who are blind would be able to find the mass car. On the other hand, Denise, who raised that question, also said that she agreed that it might be something that would be helpful to a lot of people. I asked Mr. Haas, who mentioned that the filters on buses have been stepped up in terms of the MERV quality, but I asked him if the buses have adopted, at least on a pilot basis, germicidal filters, which are, have been adopted on a pilot basis in our trains. Buses are more crowded and smaller, and therefore are more likely to spread aerosol viruses such as the coronavirus. Mr. Haas says he would check it out, but I wonder, Christian, has he gotten back to you on whether there are germicidal filters being adopted at least on a pilot basis in the buses? That was one thing that was brought up.
I have not gotten feedback on that, but I will be sure to get it before your next meeting.
Yeah. Mr. Blake, this is Carol Lopez. They have not advanced beyond a pilot at this time.
A pilot on the trains or a pilot
on the buses?
Okay. I'll remind everyone that both Dallas and Houston had been using germicidal filters for years before the pandemic, and other places have begun to use them as well. And we should use them as we discussed. We also talked about the WayMap, the pilot that's going on, among other things. The contractor, or actually the president of the WayMap place finding app, says that by sometime the end of, at least of 2023, all stations and I guess bus stops will have been included in the WayMap app. He also mentioned that with respect to wheelchairs, which are not yet able to work for people in wheelchairs, that some kind of mechanism is under investigation and trial, so that in addition to the rest of us, many people who are in wheelchairs will be able to take advantage of his WayMap finding situation. We also talked about floating bus stops. As a matter of fact, Melissa Anderson from the Office of Civil Rights of the Federal Highway Transportation, the Federal Highway Administration, talked to us about, bike lanes and that sort of thing. And at our next meeting, that is on next Monday of the for the bus rail subcommittee, we'll have a guest from DC government discussing where they're at on bike lanes. Let's see. Oh, she also mentioned that there's a website, trb.org, in which the Transportation Research Board has a lot of data with regard to the subject. Let's see. We talked about and we reported again about what we discussed again today about travel training for people to find their way around town to get to the new L'Enfant Plaza building. Incidentally, Dr. B mentions that her transit accessibility center is happy to provide travel training in that regard. I don't know if anybody's followed up on it, but since the question was raised again at this meeting, maybe we could see what Dr. B could do about helping us out on that question. That's a brief rundown of the discussions we had during the June meeting of the Bus Rail Subcommittee. This will come up again next week for a final review and a vote as to whether we adopt the minutes I've been discussing. Thank you very much. And again, welcome to our new members.
Thank you, Tino. Well done. Paul, you got the ball.
Yep, and I will keep it brief since it's 7:20 and I know y'all want to be out. So my name is Paul Summerford. I am the Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. Welcome to all the wonderful new members. Please advocate and speak up and speak out. And please come to all meetings. I emphasize all main meetings and at least one subcommittee meeting a month. I have to put that plug in. So last month we discussed a whole range of topics. The first biggest one was the Metro Access Customer Guide. There has been some updates to it. The most updated version, as you will see online, is for June 2022. There were some, you know, minor updates, like the big things like abilities ride, update information about the Transit Accessibility Center with addresses, things of that nature, and a lot of some key topics were put with more emphasis and clarity after Metro Access Management sought feedback from the subcommittee members. Also, we discussed the customer satisfaction survey results. So these are Metro Access customers that are surveyed, a sample of them on a quarterly basis. And we have requested as a committee to kind of hear from that again, as we had in the past some years ago. And as Mr. Blake has said, they've been working on the issues from these surveys. This one was satisfaction of customers. And we talked about from the last quarter, about 85% of the customers were satisfied, 8% were somewhat satisfied, and 5 were not. And we listed some of the top three concerns, which were their ride being delayed or late, it didn't show up, or problem with where's my ride office, and talked about opportunities for improvement with that. I talked about on-time performance with the statistics with excessively late trips. And now that we're going back as of July 1st, where we're fully back to shared rides, the restriction of only 3 passengers being on has been removed. So some of the pandemic stuff. Do expect that we will be sharing rides as it has been before and now and supposed to be as usual. Enough on that one. Metro Access reservations. Metro Access management team has shared with us that there has been some issues with reservation staff, and they are working to resolve those issues as quickly as possible so that customers are able to call in and book reservations. This does not affect online reservations for those who are able to do it, but those who need to call in to make reservations, there are some challenges that they're working on, and they went into detail of, you know, workers wanting to come in, calling them back from teleworking, they didn't come, so there's been delayed times. This has been the customer experience, and they're working very actively to find creative solutions until they resolve the issues of hiring staff. I look eager and forward to at the next subcommittee meeting to hear what some of those new creative resolutions are in the interim, so that customers are minimally affected by this issue when they call in, and should have as near normal a customer experience and ease in making the reservations as possible, unlike currently. But we'll hear more about that later this month and at the July subcommittee meeting. And let's see, the next thing is we talked about shared rides update. I already mentioned that the Metro Access flat fares, you already heard, on weekends is flat $4. And now as of after July 1st, over the weekend, everyone should be seeing a flat fare $4. And again, as Mr. Blake said, and management staff, if there's any, during those two time periods, you're getting a fare that's not less than $4 or less, possibly, to let them know so they can rectify the situation. Denise, did you have anything else to add?
No, sir.
Okay, I'm hearing the crickets. We look forward to next month's meeting, which we Mr. Blake is going to make some kind of service announcement about Metro Access, and we're all eager to hear and to come to that meeting to hear what that is about, and amongst other things, and to hear about reservations and to hear about how the status of shared rides are for next month, just some of the major meeting topics we're going to go through. And that is about it. Any questions from anybody?
As we have a question. Paul, I have a question. This is Pat.
Yes. Next month there is going to be.
Pat, no, we're going to pass on you. We're going to let you make our announcements.
Oh, so the last piece I just want to say is we are working on our work plan next month also. So to new members, we're open to suggestions. What I'm going to pass out new this week is a preliminary list, and this is not the end all to be all because it's a living document of some things that we are currently would like to see discussed and happen for our work plan for next year. And we're going to discuss at the next meeting all your input feedings and input or any other further suggestions on what this subcommittee should be working on for the next year.
Okay, Paul, we'll let Lou make her announcements.
All right, thank you,
Paul. Yes.
You
said there's a meeting next month. I thought we took August off.
Oh, I'm talking about this month. I'm sorry. Last meeting.
I see everybody's hand. I want to move and make her announcements.
Okay, I will make the announcement. If anybody would like to make some public comments, they can send us an email or call and leave a message. The email address is metroaacchair@wmata.com. And the phone number is 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement for the public comments. Just to add on to a previous conversation about communication, I would be happy to send an email to all the members and provide different modes of correspondence for purposes of complaints, commendations, concerns, suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you. And just to get everybody on schedule, will be the bus rail subcommittee meeting.
Can I just
mention? And the week after that will be the Metro Access subcommittee meeting. And then the month of August, we do not meet. So the next meeting of the full committee will be in September. But you don't get any time off. You still have to pay attention to what's going on. You still have to pay attention to what the board is doing. The new general manager will be arriving. And stuff is going to happen. The weather is going to be bad. Things are going to happen. So pay attention. Talk to your constituents, talk to your fellow riders.
Watch your emails.
Exactly. And get things done. Patrick, 1 minute, and then Tino can wrap it up. Patrick, 1 minute.
No, I'm good. I'm good, Phil. Thank you.
Okay, Tino.
I'm glad Patrick is here. Patrick and Philippa and Thomas Bangram, I contacted Heidi Case, who is the chair of the District of Columbia's counterpart to our Access Advisory Committee, and I asked her and had carbon copied her chief of staff there if we could make a presentation in July regarding our education campaign about the problems that bicycle lanes provide, but I've never heard back, so I suppose we'll have to wait until the fall, unfortunately, to make our debut presentation regarding bicycle lanes. Sorry.
Thank you. Timothy, I saw your hand up.
Very quickly, I have a request. If there's information and numbers posted, if it could go to the text messaging so people have a fair chance of getting a screenshot off so they can record it so they don't have to remember the numbers if they're dyslexic or anything else. That would be incredibly helpful. And two, I lost two. Sorry, guys. Have a good one.
You're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to lose three.
I'm always a court short. Anyway, thank you.
You can't be governor of Texas then. Okay. Patrick, are you still there?
Yes, Phil, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm good, Phil.
Okay, I'm glad you're good. You're on vacation, you're in Kansas City, so stay out of trouble because everything's up to date in Kansas City.
Well, actually, Phil, just to report to everybody, my second day here, I got COVID, so I'm stuck in a hotel room in Omaha.
Oh, my God.
For a week. Sorry. It's a lot of fun.
Sorry, Patrick.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling fine, though. Fun well. Way to spend my week in Omaha.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, boy.
All else is well.
Well, hopefully we'll see you back here soon with a mask on.
It's amazing how easy you can catch COVID, right?
Oh, wow.
UV filter. Yes.
It's true.
Great meeting, Phil. Emotions.
Thanks, everybody.
You heard that going to New Orleans.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Third. Can we get in the subcommittee?
Last comment for us.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Any new members?